gospel reading this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen. How many of you this morning would say that you made a choice to do something already today? Pretty much everyone, right? Yeah. Choices are a part of life. You know, it can be from the mundane thing in terms of, you know, whether we wear a white shirt or a blue shirt or a red dress or a pink dress. It can be something where there's an abundance of choices to the point where we're not really sure what to choose from. Ever had a headache and you went to CVS? And you're standing in the aisle with all the painkillers and it's like, how do you even pick? There can be a choice in terms of not really sure what to choose. It's not even a matter of you know what's right and wrong. You don't even know what right is. I had a friend whose husband was on life support, and she had faced the choice of having to decide whether to take him off of life support or not. There's no right answer there. You're not really sure what the choice is. But then there are times when we do know what's right. We do know the right choice to make. But the question isn't whether to choose the right thing. The question is, how do we find the strength, the courage, the conviction even, to choose the right? In our story that Art and Michelle and Maya read, the midwives, Shipra and Pua, they know what's the right thing to do. There is nothing right about killing baby boys. There just isn't anything right about that. Therefore, the choice before them isn't trying to discern which is the right choice. Really, the decision revolves around how do you find the strength, the conviction, the courage to choose what is right. This is a real question for them to struggle with because they were living in a time under great threat. The wrong choice is a life or death decision. They are people who are oppressed and discriminated against, abused and enslaved. They live among people who fear and distrust them. And it's that fear that moves the king to want to control them to the point of killing their children. "Go and deliver the Hebrew babies," the king says. "If it is a boy, kill it. If it is a girl, she shall live." What a thing to tell women whose very vocation it is to usher in life into the world. There's nothing right about killing baby boys. However, to disobey the king meant to the possibility of death. Therefore, how do you find that conviction, the courage, the strength to do what's right? Well, the scripture tells us that it was faith. It says that they feared God more than they feared the king. They knew that it was better to lose their life now and save their souls than to save their lives now and lose or forfeit eternity. My brothers and sisters, knowing the Lord changes everything. Their faith in God enabled them to risk saving the babies, and for that, God honored them. Thankfully, most of us will never have to face decisions like that. But we will be faced with choices in which we know the right thing to do, but we struggle to do it. In those moments, I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes to the Lord, from whence your help comes. Pray and ask for strength. Trust and believe the Lord will honor your decision, and then out of faith, act upon it. One of the things that's interesting is the parents of Moses, however, they acted out of faith, but they were in a situation, in a circumstance where they could not change it. They could not change the situation that the king had presented. They could not change the decree that had gone out to kill all the baby boys. There was nothing they could do about it, but there was some one thing they could change, and that was their reaction to it. One of the attributes of faith is its motivating force to help us press on and persevere, even in the face of great odds. Moses' mother, out of faith, placed her child in the river, the very waters that the king meant for death, she believed could be the means of her own child's salvation. She had no way of knowing who would find her son. She had no way of knowing, even when they found her son, what they would do to him. Instead, she left him in the hands of God, because she knew that God is able. God is able to make a way when there seems to be none. And God is able to do a new thing when it seems as though all hope is lost. Imagine having to live on nothing but faith. You don't know what the next 5 minutes will bring, let alone tomorrow or next week or next year. Yet when we know the Lord, it may not change our circumstances, but he changes us. I remember a time when I was a young adult, maybe mid-20s or so, and I was going through a very, very hard period in my life. I felt as though my life was unraveling. Have you ever had that experience? Mm. Yeah. Just felt like my life was just unraveling. And it's like the more I tried to pull it together, the worse it started getting. And it just kept unraveling and unraveling and unraveling. And I remember this one night, I felt so overwhelmed by everything. Everything in life was wrong. Nothing seemed to be going right. I was a child of God. I was faithful in the church. I was serving in the church. It's not like supposed to be like that for Christians. And that night I cried out to God, "Why aren't you helping me?" And in response, something really amazing happened. The Holy Spirit washed over me, and I only can tell it felt like warm honey just oozing all over. And for the first time, I smiled in a long time. When I woke up the next morning, everything had changed. Now, don't get me wrong, the situation I was dealing with was still there. In fact, that hadn't changed for another year. The heartache I was experiencing was still present. The way I felt betrayed by people was still very much there. But everything had changed because I had changed. I now knew Jesus in a way I had never known him before. He was no longer someone that the minister spoke about in church or someone that I read about in a Bible. In this moment, Jesus was real. He was more than a prophet or a teacher. He was now someone that had saved me from the abyss of despair. And I was changed. Knowing Christ changes everything. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" I thought about that question and wondered, how many times have we thought we knew someone, but really we only knew about them? I remember being a teenager. If you walked into my bedroom, you knew all of my heartthrobs. Because their posters were all over the walls. Every piece of wall that you could see was covered with posters of all the celebrities and the movie stars and the singers and the groups and everybody. And I just knew I knew them. I knew their favorite colors. I knew what they ate for breakfast. I knew their hobbies. I knew how many siblings they had. I knew where they came from. I knew all about them. And if you asked me, "Do you know this person?" I would have said, "Yes." But in reality, I only knew about them. The people around Jesus knew about Jesus. They knew that he was a prophet, maybe Elijah or John the Baptist or Jeremiah, or maybe some other prophet. However, when asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon, son of Jonah, always quick to speak up. He looks at Jesus and he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." By grace, in a moment of great clarity, the truth of Jesus was revealed, and Peter looked at Jesus, and he knew him. The Messiah, the one sent by God out of grace, that in him we might be saved, and know what forgiveness really is. What's wonderful about this story is Jesus, who knows all of us, knew Peter also. He knew Peter's strengths and he knew Peter's weaknesses. Isn't Jesus the one who told Peter that he would betray him on the third night, three times? And Peter is saying, no, never, never. And then what happens? He does. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Yes, Jesus sees Simon, son of Jonah, as he is, and he also sees him as he will be. No longer conformed to his old self, but now transformed by the renewing of his mind, this mind that is centered in Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, it is refreshing to know that we don't have to wait until we are perfect, until we have all the answers, until we have our lives all together, in order to come with a desire to know Christ for ourselves. In the same way Jesus knew all about Peter, he knows all about you and me. And he loves us. And he invites us to come. Come and know him. Come and grow in him. Come to live for him. Come so that we might be transformed into people that seek to use our gifts, that seek to live our lives as living sacrifices that honors God and blesses each other. Knowing Christ changes everything. First, within ourselves, in our minds, in our hearts. And then it ripples out. It ripples out to the rest of the world, to those who are all around us, as we live into who we are meant to be and who we are called to be as children of God. May we grow in that, knowing that the Lord loves us and calls us for such a time as this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks, O Lord, for all your grace and all your mercy. Work in our hearts that day by day we might lay hold of the grace we have been given in Jesus Christ and be formed more and more in his image through faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.